Welcome back to Star Realms Minicast. Paul Solomon here, and we have a very exciting evening ahead of us. The first arena rush defenses will end, and I'll get you updated here on the leaderboards of the stars as that concludes. But I expect that right away we're going to kick into the next arena, the second arena of this season, and that will give us a new scenario, a new foil card to win, new opportunity to earn credits, all kinds of good stuff. But you know what? I don't even have to guess at these things because White Wizard CEO Rob Doherty is going to join me on the program here later this evening. Hopefully he'll be on to tell us, sort of end the mystery around this thing and tell us what the new arena is and that scenario and give us maybe some strategic insights as we head into that new world, so to speak. So stay tuned tonight. Rob Doherty on the minicast. See you then. All right, before we get to Rob tonight, let's talk about the leaderboards on the Trophy Stars. In first place right now, this is maybe 5 hours before this thing ends, Agent Seto has 55 stars, more than halfway to the Brain World, which is nuts. I spoke a little too fast when I said that Damola would be the first to the Brain World. That was presumptuous of me. Damola is in third place with 42, Klemp at 44, one car less, No Mercy both at 33, Zaf Flinger, 32. W. Rednos, I don't know, Rednos, 28. Eggies, 28. That's just your top eight. Then we have in the nine spot, Grab with 27, and Fat Asian with 28. That's PH, Fat Asian. MTG Girl, Magic, MT Girl, 26. Anyway, it's pretty intense. People are getting up there with the stars. I'm just outside the top 20 with 20 stars. And let's keep going down the list here. If you have 15 stars, you're in the top 50. Top half on the way to the Brain World. It looks like as we head down to 86, let's see, 9 stars puts you in the top 100. Number 100 right now is Anboat. Anboat, 8 stars. Spanish Iwa, 8 stars. So, you know, I don't know how much people are putting in to make this happen, but that's what it took this week. Agent Seto must have put in a ton of, it's not that much money really, but he must have been paying up. I'm not entirely sure why, unless he just absolutely loved that scenario. You don't have to be first. I guess there's a little bragging rights to be first, but you just have to be top 100 to get that Brain World. So stay tuned for more. We'll see how this shakes out. We got 3 more weeks in the season. You don't even get an avatar for being first on a week, you know, for one of these leaderboards for the current arena. But as it is, congrats to Agent Seto. I'll assume you'll hold out and win this week. All right, we go now over to my interview with Rob Doherty, where we discussed this week's arena format and got a couple of general questions answered about the arena. I tried to pull a couple of little spoilers out of him. Listen close, you'll see how it goes. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you, man?
Good, good. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Welcome to Star Realms Minicast. Thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome.
So I hear we have some exciting news to discuss today. We have a change in the arena, as we will every week. You want to tell us what's going on?
Sure. So we've got, as you said, every single week we're going to have a new arena format. That's one of the really cool things about arena. When you're playing, you've got modified rules for the game, and every single week those modified rules are different, so it keeps you on your toes, and you have to sort of learn Star Realms all over again, so it keeps it really fresh and fun. This week you're going to be channeling your inner machine cult. Mm-hmm. We've got the ruthless efficiency is the scenario. And under ruthless efficiency, you're going to have a little thing that looks kind of like a gambit. Yep. That you'll be able to click on and spend one trade to scrap a card from your hand, and this is something you can do once per turn.
Beautiful.
Now, that sounds really, really simple.
Yeah.
but it ends up, when you're playing it, giving you some really, really interesting decisions.
Yeah.
Anybody who's played a lot of Star Realms knows that in the beginning of the game, getting scrapping is great because you can thin your deck down, make it so you'll shuffle more frequently, make it so you get those cards that you bought faster. But you also know that you want to buy big things, make as many buys and as the biggest buys you can before that first shuffle. So on the second time through your deck, you're going to be buying some awesome, you're going to have awesome stuff come up,
right?
Be able to buy bigger and better things. So you've got this really interesting dilemma of, okay, do I spend a trade, reducing the stuff I can buy and get rid of a card from my hand? And if, you know, if that card happens to be a scout, you're going to be reducing your trade further in order to get this scrapping effect. Also, later in the game, you'll be able to thin your deck out when those purchases matter a little bit less. It has this really interesting dynamic of when to use this ability that both players have available to them at all times.
Fantastic. And we'll dive into the strategic changes to the play a little bit later, but also it's true that each week the card sets available in the arena will change. Even if you haven't, you know, purchased them, perhaps everyone will be able to play with these expansions. So what do we have available this
week? Yeah, so every week there are different sets that we'll be playing with, as you said. And this coming week, we've got the base set of Star Realms. So the an old favorite. and we've got the Heroes from Crisis. These are the lower cost heroes. And then we also have Promo Pack 1. And that that pack has some real powerhouse cards in it.
Yes, it does.
Especially at the 7 cost range.
right in that 7 cost area there.
And that, you know, that also provides some interesting interactions with the with that pay to scrap issue. How much to thin your deck? How much to build your economy? You know, are you going to plan around, you know, hoping for those big things coming? That is the format for this coming week.
Fantastic. And I have one more question here before we dive into strategy. There'll be a new foil card available this week or two. What will we see?
So the season foil that you get at 2 wins will stay the same through the entire month of May.
Okay.
But the 6-win foil will change every week.
All right.
This past week, our 6-win foil was the Cutter. So if you managed to get 6 wins last week, you picked up the Cutter. This next week, the 6-win foil is going to be the Space Station.
Mm-hmm.
So every single week we're going to have a different card at the 6-win category.
Cool. Very exciting. Those shinies are really nice to see in app, and it seems like they each have, it's not like a single foil animation. They each have something a little bit different. You can sort of see on the cutter, some rocket stuff coming out of the back of it.
Yeah, we have, Antonis, our lead artist, is working with Darwin, the art director, and with graphics manufacturer, the company that does a lot of art for Star Realms, sort of creating this animation process. And this is something we've done for the entire base set of Star Realms, and are continuing to create foils for all the sets, so that we'll have foils for many arenas to come,
yeah,
and potentially for some other event prizes.
Interesting. Very cool. And it sounds like if you've done the whole core set and they're ready to foil, then you've got a long runway ahead of you. So we're excited about that.
Yes. Yeah. We wanted to make sure that we were prepared for, we were ready to go.
Cool.
And wouldn't run into any delays based on the foiling. So so while we were, creating these formats and doing the testing for this, for months we've been working on the foiling process for the cards, and I think they really came out great.
So, yeah, they're beautiful. All right, so let's dive into this week's Ruthless Efficiency in here and talk about, first of all, the elephant in the room arc. Do you think that this kind of lowers the overpowered value of arc? Because to my first mind, I think if everybody's going to be scrapping throughout the game, arc's weaker.
Sure. First of all, let's be real. Arc's going to be disgusting no matter what. But it is true that both players will have access to scrapping. Decks will get smaller faster. This can lead to quicker, deadlier games in general, which leaves less time for a card like the Arc to dominate on its own. It is still nasty, and there will definitely be races to the Arc. Mm-hmm. But I believe the impact will be slightly lessened on the on the power of the Arc.
Right. And then how else do you think about what's in that that year one promo pack and how that shapes the game?
Well, I'm a big fan of the bases.
Right.
In the year one promo pack, Star Market is fantastic. Gives you some great buying juice early, and can keep you in the game with that authority gain later. Fortress Oblivion can give you some great and recursive deck thinning. Mm-hmm. Being an outpost, you can't ignore it. Sometimes when your opponent gets a star market or a Starbase Omega or a breeding site, if they don't manage to pick up bases or scary ally abilities in those factions, sometimes you'll just choose to ignore that card for a little while, and leave it in play where it's not doing any harm.
Right.
But with the Fortress Oblivion, no such option. It's an outpost. They have to take it out.
Right.
So it's going to be thinning stuff on its own while protecting your score. And obviously it's given those other bases some thinning potential.
Yeah, that was my first thought as well, was just thinking about all those bases in there, Starbase Omega, Breeding Site. I think Breeding Site's going to be massive in this format, especially with the possibility for like a mono green deck, where all those blob fighters are doing what they do, with a very quickly thinning deck. You don't even have to have red cards to pull off all that draw with green. So
sure,
that's going to be pretty exciting.
All the ships are pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. You've got the Battle Barge, which can be absolutely devastating in combination with those bases. Battle Screecher gives you great board control, especially useful with these high power cards that come up, being able to control that trade row and basically make it the way you want it for your turn and take away the scary stuff that you can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
The Mega Hauler, being able to gain you authority, acquire any ship and put it on top of your deck, and then ally to draw and then draw that ship, super powerful. And of course the Arc is probably the most powerful card in the game for its cost. The scrapping two cards, five combat, and and drawing to you know, all everything you want in one.
Yeah, it's a finisher too.
Evil little
package. Yes, it is. Yeah.
So definitely some really strong cards there, and you know, and the Merc Cruiser is also included in that set.
Nice.
Certainly, significantly weaker than the other ships we mentioned. However, that the ability to choose a faction and have it be that faction can really tighten up your deck.
Yeah.
With those allies.
It's interesting to compare this with last week's format, where speaking to some of the players that I spoke to and just my own experience, I felt like blue got a big boost relative to the other factions because econ was so important. Do you think that there's a faction here that's going to get a boost, or one that's going to get a drop overall as a result of the scrapping ability from Ruthless Efficiency?
So it's not going to be as ruthless. Ruthless Efficiency is not going to be as changing on the card evaluations as last week's mm-hmm. format was. In that, you don't need to get red,
right,
to thin out your deck, but it's still getting some good Machine Cult deck thinning. Still going to be useful because you know you can more rapidly mm-hmm. thin your deck down, mm-hmm. and that's quite good. While trade is not as good as it was late game, where you could buy those bases directly right. into play, so basically trade stayed relevant all the way through.
Yeah.
Trade is relevant a little bit longer because if you have extra trade, that means you will also get to do some deck sitting that turn.
Right.
But it will feel very different from both regular Star Realms play and from last week's play. So you're going to have you will definitely get a different play experience.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I think that that's been that's probably been the most exciting thing about the scenarios and the arena, is just that you have a totally fresh and different feel on the game that's exciting and gives you new things to think about. I've heard several players say that this has been their favorite expansion. And actually, yep. I want to ask a question that came out of that. Is there ever a possibility of releasing the scenarios pack as a traditional expansion to the app that can be added to challenge games or level games?
It is possible. Mm-hmm. The things where it gets tricky is division of player pool.
Mm-hmm.
Selecting different formats specifically can be pretty easy for challenges. It's a little trickier for level play, but
yeah.
We do have our quick match feature, which helps to fix those issues. So it's certainly a possibility for down the road.
Awesome.
There are some programming challenges on some of the scenarios we're still working through. So one of the nice things about the arena is we could get half a dozen or so of them in the can. Is okay, these are ready to go, and then our programming team can continue to work on them as the arena rolls forward.
You mentioned player matching. Let me ask about how that works in the arena. Is there a different algorithm to the way that players match? Does it depend on level or trophy stars at all?
It does not depend on your level. What it depends on is how you are doing in that arena run.
Okay. So
basically, each arena is like its own tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were playing in, let's say, like a Magic tournament, and you were 2-1,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't expect someone's lifetime rating to affect who you got paired against. You just get paired up against another 2-1 player.
Okay.
That's what we're trying to do in arena. We try and look at your current number of stars. In that particular, or your current number of wins in that particular arena, and then pair you up against someone with the same level.
Right.
However, the priority is on letting you play. So
okay.
they'll try and pair you up against someone with a similar number of wins. And if we can't find one in a relatively reasonable amount of time, sure, we're gonna pair you up against an available player.
Got it. And that's not for the week. That's just for that specific run at the arena. If I'm 5-0, you'll try to find me a 5-0. And if you can't, you'll get me who you can get me.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So that's we do that every single arena run. Oh, and before I forget, I definitely want to mention with this new arena run, everyone will get a free entry. Every single week, you get a free entry into the arena.
Beautiful.
It wasn't a one-time thing with the first arena we were doing. Our current model that we're testing out here in the beta, every week you're going to get you'll get one free entry, and of course with that free entry, if you win some games, you'll also earn some credits. You can save those up and parlay them into more arena entries as time goes on. So if you're a player who wants to just try it out for free, you'll get to try every single week. You'll get to try out the new format, and you get to play at least a couple games, because you have to get two losses to get knocked out. But you could, if you're winning, you get a whole bunch of arena games in, and you can win up to 30 credits each week playing. And there's an arena cost 20 credits. So if you are doing well, you'll be able to play like 2.5 times a week for free. And if you do want to pay to play, it's pretty cheap. It's like
quarter of pop.
About a quarter. Yeah.
And that's a good way for me to keep thinking about it. It's like, yeah, I'm going to put another quarter in the machine, take another run of this.
Yeah, I've seen that. That hashtag.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that's excellent. I appreciate all the information here. And usually I have guests on. We do like a, live play and strategy discuss. We'll set that up for another day.
Awesome.
I do have one question, though. I put this to Darwin. He did not fill me in, but I'm going to try you. Will you tell me the stats on the Hive Queen? I'm dying to know.
No.
Not even a ballpark. Just some special. Okay, I've got one more. Are we going to see a card that draws three in Frontiers?
Are you going to see a card that draws three in Frontiers? I'm not doing a spoiler. Sorry.
All right, well, I tried. I did my very best. All right. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate having you on.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, bud.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Well, there you have it. I couldn't get out of him the Hive Queen stats. We'll keep trying on that. Couldn't get out of him any kind of spoilers whatsoever, but we did hear about this week's arena, Ruthless Efficiency, scrap, scrap, scrap. We'll be covering this all throughout the week as players start to figure out what's going on. This goes live tonight, 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't even know how that works, standard, daylight, whatever it is. Get ready. I think this is going to be really fun. My predictions are that this lowers the value overall of red and increases the value overall of green and the fifth faction bases. And we'll just see how it goes. I mean, this is an interesting format where you could get literally, just, I don't know, get a missile bot and then try to grab yellow discard cards and just scrap to five discards. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, I'll see you next time. And until then, I will see you on the realms.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.